Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your radio host, Pastor Al, live right here on AM 1220, The Word. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock here this afternoon, and hope you'll be able to join in our conversation here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again as we come on the air today. We just pray that you would help us be a blessing and encouragement, especially think of the tragedy out in Colorado here this past evening or early hours of this morning. We do pray that you would just help people to find comfort in your Word, and we just pray that again that we could be a help blessing to somebody through this, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, of course, I was going to talk about a number of things here today, but the lead story today, probably with a lot of people, is the shooting out in Aurora, Colorado. And apparently, I try not to get into all the details of it, but what is known is that a lone gunman apparently came into the theater where Batman The Dark Knight, the movie, was premiering, and he apparently released some kind of tear gas, pepper spray, something like that. There was rumors there was an explosive device still in the theater. Don't know about that. And he shot a number of people. The latest I heard, 12 dead and a number of people injured in the dozens, I guess. And it's a very serious situation. And, of course, almost immediately the cries have gone out for more gun control, more gun control. Which unfortunately seems to get everybody's attention and thinking that if only we had more gun control, we wouldn't have these problems. And I was struck with a thing that I was listening to earlier today, talking about in Saudi Arabia, where they do have pretty effective gun control. Bombings are common there. They don't have guns, and so they use bombs whenever they can. Of course, they seem to get a hold of guns in places as well in Saudi Arabia and use them on occasion, too. So effectively, what gun control does is it disarms the innocent law-abiding citizens and allows the criminals free access to their victims. And you can see that in any country that's instituted gun control. And I always wondered why the liberals are so up against the Second Amendment of our United States Constitution. They're certainly very quick to claim their free speech rights under the First Amendment, but they don't seem to like the Second Amendment. And it reminds me of a quote, that I had seen by Al Capone. You know, the notorious gangster Al Capone said you could get something effective. You can get more with a kind word and a gun than you can get with just a gun alone. And he made that quote because he preferred victims who were unarmed when he had the gun. It seems like the first thing that totalitarian states do when they take over is disarm the people, so that nobody can shoot back. They have the gun. And think about it. If a police officer did not have access to guns and the authority to use them, how many people would really listen to them? And you say, well, what about Britain? What about Britain? The police are unarmed there. Well, I lived for 3 years in England, and let me tell you, not all of the police are unarmed. They may not be carrying the gun on their person, but you don't know what's in the trunk of those police cars. And also, the club that they have, that they use their little nightstick, is a pretty good offensive weapon that they use, and they train with it. There's a special pocket sewn into the side of their pants leg. And you don't even know that the thing's there until they pull and get the staff out, and they can use it pretty effectively. So, but they are armed, and they have increasingly more armed police over in Britain, even though they've disarmed the public, because gun crimes have gone up tremendously in Britain since they've essentially disarm the public there. And that seems to happen everywhere. When you have guns in the hands of the common people, you do seem to get a lowering of certain types of crime. It's instrumental to note that one of the admirals in Japan during World War II era said that they did not want to invade the American homeland because behind every blade of grass was a guy with a gun. And even Hitler was given pause with that. And even more recently, during the Cold War era, the old Soviet Union, which I'm proud to say is no longer a viable entity, the Soviet Union worried if they were ever to go into an attack on the United States and try to actually invade America, they worried that the number of guns that was in the hands of the American people would hinder their ability to do that. And so when you see people who have thought about, and debated the idea of invading the United States in the past, the fact that we have an armed populace gave them pause, that should be something to consider, especially when you see people who want to disarm the American people. You wonder who their sympathies really lie with. And at any rate, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. Get you on the air with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Just want to touch on that, some thoughts there that I wanted to share as we got started here. One of the reasons actually for the Second Amendment being in the United States Constitution was to actually prevent dictatorships and takeovers of our country and to ensure our freedom. And I mean, think about that. Proverbs chapter 29 says in verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. A government that's a righteous government, when you have the righteous in authority, they've no reason to fear. Governing by our Constitution, there's no reason for them to fear. I can remember being in England and watching United States elections, and the British, marveled at the fact that every 4 years we would have a presidential election, and the president of the United States, which would be arguably one of the most powerful people in the world, would voluntarily, relinquish control of the military, voluntarily relinquish his position, and step off in out of government into the civilian world. And they marveled at that. It's really not the rule in many countries in the world. You see people trying to struggle to hang on, and you see the rise of dictatorships and coups and things like that taking place. But thankfully, we had a lot of God-fearing people in the founding of our nation that incorporated some principles from God's Word into our Constitution. I'm not going to pretend that the Constitution was inspired by God by any means. It's a human document, and it's got some failings in it, and that's one of the reasons there's an amendment process to it, and some amendments have been made. And some of those amendments have been very good. And so we operate by a good document that stood the test of time, that's preserved our freedoms. And it seems like today our freedoms are under assault. Let me give you another example. I had a comment that I had posted on, I don't know if you're familiar with LinkedIn, but I had a comment posted on a site for the American Legion. And I commented about a group that I'm in on LinkedIn for independent fundamental Baptist veterans. Serve honorably in the United States Armed Forces that might like to converse and connect over some issues that would be of interest to independent Baptists who are veterans. And I had a guy who sadly was a past American Legion post commander, I won't give his name, I believe it was out in California, which figures, I guess, he was uncomfortable with the idea of a religious forum to discuss veterans' issues. It made him uncomfortable, he said. And also because in my LinkedIn profile, it notes that I host this program, he was also uncomfortable with the idea that as he put it, a radio personality would weigh in on military issues. And I tried to respond to him kindly by saying, you know, as a fellow veteran, you ought to understand, we both serve partly to uphold the Constitution and our right to free speech. And I'm kind of saddened myself, kind of uncomfortable myself, that the fact that I have a particular religious position and that I host a radio station makes you uncomfortable with me expressing my views and having a group to allow independent Baptist veterans to meet and network and talk about issues of concern to them. And that's a sad thing. It's we've got people who, even conservatives, who get uncomfortable with bringing up religious issues and outlooks and bringing out the Bible and things like that in addressing the issues of our day. And, it was people who, not necessarily independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, but people at least with a biblical outlook and worldview that shaped this country in the beginning and gave us our Constitution. And I kind of think they weighed in quite a bit on the issues of their day. And I think we have the right to do so today. So at any rate, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Be on till noon, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We have John in Euclid, and John, you're on.
Hello, Pastor. Hi, welcome. Al. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay. Pastor Al, someone was talking to me not too long ago about this, and I was saying, well, you're talking about like self-defense and things like that.
Right.
Along those lines about defending yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then this woman was told me, she said, well, she didn't really think that was right in any case, because the Lord said to turn the other cheek and to love those that persecute you and, you know, pray for those that despitefully use you, and love your enemies, and then you'd be children of the highest. And so she didn't really believe in any kind of self-defense. And I was like, well, but, you know, I kind of said, well, didn't really have a good answer for her, really, I got to say. I mean, it seemed to be indicated. I'm like, yeah, well, that seems right. I mean, we're not really supposed to defend ourselves. I mean, I don't know. I heard other, you know, people say otherwise, and it doesn't seem, seems like there's times the Lord says, you know, you defend the fatherless, you defend, you know, the weaker people, you know, not to, you know, you're supposed to deliver those that are being led to slaughter and drawn to death.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, so, I mean, yeah. I didn't really have a good answer. So I'm just,
let me give you a good verse.
No, you're just supposed to pray for people. You can't really resist them
right.
if they try to harm you or something.
Let me give you a good verse in Exodus chapter 22. And in Exodus chapter 22, we have, in the midst of a number of things, of punishments and laws and things that are given, we have a case where in Exodus 22 and verse 2, it says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. So in other words, if you can picture this, here's a guy that's in his home and somebody is breaking through. They had tiles on the roof or something, and or maybe wooden on, you know, walls that they were breaking through to sneak in to try and steal, rob, and perhaps assault the people that are in the home. And you know, he wakes up and in defending his home and his family and his property, he has a sword and he smites the guy with the sword and the guy dies. Or if he just has a big club and he whacks the guy over the head with it and the guy dies. Now, today, of course, that might be a gun or something like that, but the guy dies. Well, what did God say about it? He said, there shall be no blood shed for him. In other words, he's not guilty of a crime. He's not guilty of murder. He's not guilty of something that he needs to be punished for, because he was defending himself. He was defending his home. And, you know, you think about it. What's the alternative? You know, the Bible does talk about turning the other cheek. but that has a lot more to do about, you know, when you're suffering for the gospel's sake, you know, and when you're being maligned and things like that, you don't need to retaliate in kind. Somebody, of course, pointed out one time that once you turn the other cheek, you know, that's you know, you can go from there because you only have to turn the other cheek once. But, you know, the Bible never says you cannot defend yourself. And I understand that from the spiritual side of things, you know, we should pray for our enemies and, of course, those that mock us and because of our Christian faith and all that, we should, you know, look to God to defend us and all of that. But, you know, if somebody is coming to attack your family, let's say, for instance, and you just stand by and say, well, you know, I think I'll pray for this this home invader while he kills and rapes my wife and daughter. You know, I think I'll just sit by and pray for them. and then after he's killed them, I'll turn the other cheek and just pray for him as he kills me. No, you have the obligation to defend the innocent, yes, and you have the obligation to defend there. And if in the process of defending, you can see the principle in Exodus chapter 22 laid down, if you defend yourself and he dies, you're guiltless. You're guiltless because you were doing an act of defense. Now, if you wake up the next morning, like it says in chapter or in Hebrews 22 and verse number 3, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should have made full restitution. If he have nothing, then he should be sold for his theft. But what he's saying there in verse 3 is, if you wake up in the morning and you say, well, I didn't get him last night, but I know where he lives, and you go after him and you whack him on the head with a club or strike him with a sword and he dies, now you're guilty of vigilantism. In that case, you should have turned him over to the authorities and let them go after him so that he would pay restitution in that respect. But we as Christians need to be long-suffering. That's certainly true. And when somebody says something to us or wrongs us, we don't have to get even for every little thing. But at the same time, we're not called to stand by idly and let people kill those around us and you know, never defend ourselves. So hopefully that helped a little bit there, John.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen in Luke chapter 22, I think it is, where he told the apostles to get a sword? He said, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They
sent you out without purse or scrip or shoes, lacked you anything. They said nothing, Lord. He goes, now, him that hath a purse, let him take it, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one.
Oh, yeah, because
some people talked about those verses before, and they said, well, that's like, you know, no, but he was just saying that to give an example, because then, you know, they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords, and he says, it is enough.
Right.
And then now, later, right after that, they were in the garden. Remember, they asked him. When they
right, and Peter struck Jesus. The ear off the high priest's servant. And
right,
and,
yes, that's what I was getting to.
Right. Now, in that
put up the sword into
yes.
its place, because all that take the sword shall perish by the sword. Mm-hmm. So some people would say, someone told me this before, in fact. He said, well, see, he was giving him an example. He's saying he told him to do it, and he knew what would happen, but like then he showed him. He healed the Malchus. He healed his ear, and then he said, he told Peter, put up your sword in his place, you know. Don't you think I could do this myself if I wanted to? No. And so he was giving him an example not to resist that way.
Well, in that particular case, too, Peter was going to keep Jesus from being crucified, from being attacked, you know, or from being arrested. And it was not the place for Peter to do that because it was God's plan that Jesus be arrested and be crucified. But they that live by the sword, I'm thinking of Proverbs chapter 1, where you have in verse 10, where it starts off saying, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. So he's talking about living by the sword, so to speak, you know, as an evildoer. And he says in verse 18, they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. He's talking about how they really are working their own destruction. In other words, those that live by the sword, in that sense, if you're going to pursue that kind of a lifestyle, you can expect to die, you know, in accordance with that lifestyle. But that would be an awful big problem if Jesus said, you know, go get some swords, sell your coat if you need to and get a sword. And they had some swords, and he said, that's, you know, those two swords, that's good. And then he told them later on, you can never use them. It wouldn't have made sense to have them. They had the swords. They traveled, and they came in peril by highway robbers and things like that. And they didn't use swords to defend themselves against, you know, the unwarranted attacks and accusations. But, you know, for Christians today, you know, if you're going to follow the advice of Proverbs, you're not going to follow down a path of violence and you know, use always trying to get even with people for the least little thing. Somebody does something to you, so you have to do something back to them. Somebody hits you, you have to hit them. Somebody insults you, you have to get even with them. You have to make sure. No, you got to be long-suffering. But at the same time, you know, what are you going to do if somebody punches you and knocks you down? Okay, you get back up, and he says, okay, I'll punch you and knock you down again. So you get back up. I'm going to punch you and knock you down again. How long do you keep doing that before you resist? And, you know, the sword, you know, is a legitimate end result for resisting, you know, when you're in danger of your life, things of that nature. Unfortunately, we're coming close to the end of our program here, John. And yeah, that whole area of the use of the sword, you really can't use Paul telling, or I'm sorry, John being or Peter being told to put up the sword by Jesus in the garden to say that that Christians should never use a sword. That was just because in that particular case, you know, it was God's plan for Jesus to be betrayed and arrested. And, you know, Peter had had some problems before where he said that, you know, this would never happen. I think it was when at the Lord's Supper he was talking about being betrayed, and he objected and said, I'll never betray you. And Jesus told him, hey, before the night's over, you're going to betray me. And of course, he did. So, you know, people who are quick with the sword, you know, shouldn't be too surprised if they become injured by their own actions. But for a Christian, obviously the first choice shouldn't be to shoot somebody or beat somebody up. First choice should be to pray for somebody. But when somebody breaks in your door down in the middle of the night and is attacking your family, you know, it's kind of hard to, it's like the pacifist that says, well, I would just sit by or stand there while they're assaulting my family, and I would try to reason with them. Well, yeah, it's not going to do much good. You have an obligation to protect the innocent, protect your family. And if it needs be using the sword or the gun, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that Christians need to be aware of. But at the same time, you shouldn't be quick to do it. You know, just because you have you know, some authorization in the Bible to do it doesn't mean that should be your first choice. But John, I appreciate that question and that comment today, and maybe we'll look at it some more in the future. Certainly, these things are going to be talked about a lot here in coming days with this shooting in Aurora, Colorado. And of course, we don't know exactly what the motivation of this guy is. You know, I could say, because of having, I guess, somewhat of a suspicious nature myself, that there could be some connection yet with Islamic terrorists, because we do see Iran reaching out through Hezbollah. The assassinator blew up a bus in the Balkans just drew a blank as to where the country is where they blew up the bus the other day. In Bulgaria, that's where it was, and that was Hezbollah, and they have threatened to strike in the United States, in theaters, in shopping malls, things of that nature, if they thought that they were going to be attacked. And if you watch what's going on in the Middle East, People are saying it's not a question of if, but when there's going to be an attack on Iran. So do pray for our country, pray for the Middle East, pray for the victims out there in Colorado, and we should withhold judgment. We don't know what's going to happen out there, but join us again next week for another edition of Live with Pastor Al, and Sunday night as well. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church this Sunday at 11 a.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.